He is ready tonight. He is ready. He is ready tonight. He will even go beyond this building to do strange things. He's ready. He's ready to increase your greatness. He's ready to comfort you on every side. He's ready. We welcome your majesty. We welcome your glory. Look upon us with mercy tonight, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so we ask of you tonight that it might please you to stretch forth your hand. Take away sickness. Take away bondage. Take away infirmity. Take away every limitation. Break the yoke of curses. Set your people at liberty. Open the doors that are shut. Cause the gates that have kept them confined to be flung open by the power of the Holy Spirit. We trust you tonight to make unto yourself a great name and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Celebrate him again. Please help me celebrate someone by your side as you take your seat. You are welcome to the house of God. Can you, in a moment of time, also join us to celebrate our wonderful choir? They have been such, and the men on the instruments. Oh my God! Oh my God! You know, sometimes we need to restrain them because they can make you drunk. These guys can. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to the book of Daniel. We'll pick up from where we stopped. And then we'll move a little further. And the moment the Holy Spirit takes the stage, I will stop preaching and give him the liberty to minister to the people in such a way that the preacher cannot minister. Daniel 1 verse 3, the Bible says, "And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed unto them a daily portion of his meat and wine of the table which he drank. So the king gave them his doctrine, the king gave them his spirit, so that they can be adequately inculcated into the architecture of the big system that he has raised. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. He gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael Meshach, and unto Azariah Abednego. When you arrive in Babylon, Babylon will change your name, give you a different identity. It's just that we are pressed for time. It's an evening meeting, so we don't want to go too late in the night. It would have been a wonderful venture for us to seek out the meaning of these names from the linguistic perspective, and you will find that I've done that, but it will take us a lot of... I need to teach us some alphabets in Hebrew before we begin to join them together. Then you will see that every name that is here is the name of their gods in Babylon. They were not just normal nomenclature, but they tied all these men to deities in Babylon. That their lives should be expressions of the deities of the realm. So unto Daniel was the name Belteshazzar. I don't want to go there. I don't want to press that. Hallelujah. So that's where I am today. Babylon wants to change your identity. He wants to give you an identity that is referenced to a certain spirit that lurks in the darkness of this age, so that that spirit will gain expression, gain worship, gain memory through your commitment to unveiling his true identity. You become the instrument by which such a spirit will have expression. You become an instrument by which the spirit can register its fingerprint upon the face of the earth. So Satan wants to give you an identity that is contrary to such identity that we have carried on in Christ Jesus. If by any means you are going to... How many of you still remember Mark chapter 5? Maybe we'll go to Mark 5. Mark chapter 5, my technical man, have you gone to sleep? All right. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, if we had time, I would have requested that we begin our reading from chapter 4. Then you will see the movement, how they moved from the crusade side to come to the land of the Gadarenes. That was the voyage that they embarked upon, that the wind became boisterous. So boisterous that the man like Peter, that had the training of a fisherman, saw death in sight. It means that the intensity of the wind eclipsed his experience on the sea. And he beckoned on Jesus, "Carest not thou that we die." It was that mission. They were heading to the land of what? The Gadarenes. Before they got to the shore of the Gadarenes, the demons had picked it on their detectors that there was an interception that was coming into the realm, and they sent emissaries, demonic emissaries, to ensure that Jesus never gets to town. The battle began in the voyage. So the Lord Jesus had to be summoned out of deep sleep. He was stressed from accumulated teaching, all night teachings, counseling. It had weighed on him, so he was in the hinder part of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they had to quicken him from his sleep to come attend to a matter that the masters of the sea could not combat, because it was spiritual. He had to bring his dimension. He spoke peace on the waves. And the Bible reveals that there was a great calm. All of that took place to hinder them from arriving where? Gatherings. You know, when you come to a nation, a territory, the first functionaries that you are going to meet at the airport are the immigration. And you know, in Ghana, your immigration goes on green. I like that green. Hallelujah. But it will interest you to know that the members of the immigration in this territory, they were madmen in tombs. Give me the next verse. Give me the next. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tomb, a man with an unclean spirit. That's the first agent of the territory you will find. He normally finds rest. The only place he can rest is in the land of the dead. So he comes from there to attend to you when you come to the territory. The Bible says they had an unclean spirit. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. Every attempt that was made to tame him was not sufficient. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame. So he could not be bound, and he could not be tamed. And this is a situation where the psychiatric doctors were administering injection, but it is futile. It doesn't have effect. He could not be tamed. And always in the night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. That's why we knew that it was not the man's will. Because sometimes the pressure of the manipulation of the spirits upon his life will wane a little. So he comes to his pure mind. Then he cries that this is not my destiny. This is not what I bargained for. This is not my story. This is not me. He cries on the mountains. And when the spirit notices crying, they come upon him again. Then he takes stones and he begins to cut himself. But when he saw Jesus afar off, the Bible says they ran and worshipped him. I don't want to discuss this verse, that verse. It's a deep one. A madman came and worshipped Jesus. So I don't want to talk about it. And cried with a loud voice and said unto him, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Demons prayed to Jesus. Demons. And I don't want to talk about that. Hallelujah. Because the prayer that demons prayed to Jesus, Jesus answered. But it's not for today. And he said unto them, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Go on. And he asked him, what is thy name? The reason why Jesus asked him, what is thy name, is because the demons had changed his identity. And guess what he said his name was? He said, my name is Legion. His identity had changed. And why did he say his name was Legion? Because there were many. There is no way you can intellectually understand his behavioral pattern, because it could be John today, it could be somewhere tomorrow, it could be something, it could be, my name is Legion because we are many. So that's what Babylon wants to do. It wants to give you an identity that is consistent with the influence of darkness that he assigns to oppress you. That's the specialty of Babylon. They give you a different doctrine, give you a different spirit, and they change your name. In order for your name not to be changed, we'll need to take an adventure in Scripture to find out your identity. Because Babylon is terribly against the possibility of you finding your identity in the economy of God. Come with me to the book of John chapter 1. We'll begin our reading from verse 22. John 1, 22. Some scholars were sent from Jerusalem, and they were sent to John the Baptist. The thing about Israel was that they were sons of prophecy. Their ancestors were prophets. Their ancestors were seers. And they had penned down their future. They had written their destiny on paper. So they are not ignorant people. They have studied the utterances of the prophets. And any time you say a record is broken, it is likely that a prophecy has been fulfilled. So they watched over the prophecies that their ancestors passed down to them. And they wanted to understand everything in the light of the things that their ancestors had written. So one of the people that caught the attention of the scholars of those days was John the Baptist. They saw that John the Baptist was manifesting and bearing witness and testimony in such a way that was somewhat different from the pattern of ministry that was held by customary Pharisees and scribes. And so, since he was such a different entity, they wanted to find out his identity with respect to prophecy. So they met him in the wilderness one of those days, scholars that were sent from Jerusalem, in order to be able to factor him into the myra, the maze of prophetic words that their ancestors had given. So they came with this question to him. And this is the question I may want to ask everybody that is in the auditorium tonight. He said, then they said unto him, Who art thou? And just in case John was confused, they went further and said, we do not have the capacity or audacity to ask you this question. Some people sent us. So in order for us to give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself? So John is given an opportunity for him to unveil his true identity in the light of the ocean of prophecies that the ancestors of the land had given. This was John's answer. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Please take note of this answer, because we're going to run some permutations on the answer that John just gave. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's the voice of witness that is supposed to herald the coming kingdom before Messiah finds expression. So they understood the place of John the Baptist in the context of prophecy, and they realized that it is John that will come before the Messiah. So they were able to put it within the chart of time, John's manifestation. But unfortunately for John, there were aspects of his reality that he did not understand. There were aspects of his identity that he was totally ignorant of, and that affected the scope of service delivery that he was able to furnish through his ministry. So we need to ask you, but not now. We don't have all the tools to ask you the same question, who are you? So just wait a minute. Because for some of you, your identity is drawn from the course that you are reading. You know, journalism. I'm laboring to be a medical doctor. And you draw your identity from that context. That context is so mundane that it's not captured in the framework of God's eternal purpose. And why you feature in this generation and the purpose for which God is giving you the opportunity to draw breath. Once upon a time, a friend of mine had to take his son to the hospital, and because of the inability of his lungs, he was placed on oxygen. And so my friend had to pay for oxygen per day. That was when we discovered how costly oxygen was. And he was on oxygen for 2 weeks. And that was some fortune. And so he gave us an idea of what God spends in order to keep you breathing. The reason why God is still willing to make oxygen available at that cost is because he still has hope that you will fulfill your identity within the framework of his eternal purpose. And it will be tantamount to bad business for you eventually never to approximate to that which God is expecting you to become. All of the oxygen that has been made available to keep you alive would have been a wasted investment. And that's why you need to know what identity you sustain in the framework of God's agenda. This was the question that was brought to John. He was confronted with this blatant reality. And his perspective of who he was in the framework of prophecy was that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I hope you know, in the maze of God's agenda, you have an identity in that framework, in that context. If you take yourself outside of that context, you don't exist. You only exist within the framework of that context. You can live a life. Are you there? Live a life outside of that context, but your existence, your meaning, your essence, what you consist of, can only be found within the crucible of that context, because you cannot exist in a vacuum. So they came to John and said, "All right, who are you?" He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Are you there? Okay. So let's go on. Luke chapter 1. We're investigating John. The reason why we're investigating John is that John is a good material for investigation on the subject of identity and the impact of a shortfall of adequate comprehension of what your identity is. John, Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Continue our story. Are you there? Stay with me. We have a long way tonight, a long journey. A long journey tonight. "But the angel said unto him," this is Zacharias. Zacharias had come into the temple to pray. And those days, they cast lots. They cast lots in order to feature what family will produce the priest that will serve in the sanctuary. Because it is done by lot, for 100 years your family may not be selected. It was a privilege for you to stand before the Lord. Are you there? Because it is by lot, your family can come this week, your family can come next week, your family can come the other week. But a family can be exempted for the next 8 months, for the next 15 months. So it was by lot. That is to say that it's God that chooses the one that stands before him. Such a family that has found favor before him is selected through the mystery of lot, and he is made to serve in the office of the priest. So the lot fell to the family of Abiathar. If it's in the New Testament, they wrote Abia, but in the original Hebrew context, is Abiathar. So it fell into that family. I know you know about Abiathar. I don't want to go into all of that. "And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." Still talking about John. Are you there? This was the download about John. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." This is where I'm going. This is his identity. "For he shall go before him in the spirit." Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. Don't lose me now. "He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." There are two things mentioned here. the impetus that John was going to have in ministry was going to be occasioned by two strands of spiritual capital. The first being the spirit of Elijah. The second being what? The power of Elijah. And the implication of this level of spiritual investment will give him the ability to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, making ready a people prepared for the Lord. So, are you there? Are you with me? Do you realize that this was about John that the angel was downloading to John's father? But from the answer that John gave, when men came from Jerusalem to ask him his identity, you will notice it did not include this piece. Because his father forgot to tell him that this was his identity. And because God has told his father this aspect of the man's calling, God was no longer willing to reveal to him personally. The answer that John gave was a personal revelation he had concerning his calling. The voice of one crying, what? In the wilderness. That was his own personal revelation. But what God revealed to his father about him, God did not reveal to him. And you will notice in his reply that he did not include what his father received about him, indicative of the fact that there was a break in transmission. The father did not pass down his encounters to his son. So John was unaware of the fact that the two dimensions of spiritual capital that would drive his calling, drive his ministry, that would form his spiritual identity, was the spirit and the power of Elijah. Don't forget the spirit-power combination. It's the same kind of combination we have in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, you shall receive power after that the Spirit is come upon you. You know, it means the Spirit will come, and if you know how to deal with the investment that is in the Spirit, you will produce what? You get that? So the same arrangement, spirit-power combination, that is in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. That was the same idea in the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 17. Now, I'm going to show you a few things. Are you with me? Okay, this is his identity. He was going to move in the spirit and the power of the prophet Elijah to bear witness and to turn the heart of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. All right. Can we go on? Good. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. From verse 51 to 55. Luke chapter 9 verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. This is Jesus. He began to speak in his spirit that it seems that the time of his death was drawing near. So the people of Samaria were very generous hosts to him previously. And he thought that he will still spend the night in Samaria before he makes it to Jerusalem. So he had already dispatched people to go to Samaria to announce that he was coming so that they could make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. That was when he began to pick the frequency, that it's as if God wanted him not to stay in Samaria but to proceed to Jerusalem immediately. Because the ultimate point of his destiny had come. He was going to offer him up himself as a sacrifice. So he didn't feel there was any need for him to stay back in Samaria. And then the Samaritans had persuaded him and said, we have this pounded yam there. We made kohontobre. We made banku for you to... That special one that normally we got the woman to make it available. And he said, no, I'm going straight. So the people now got angry and they said, oh yeah, never come here again. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this,
And the people rejected them. They said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? You still know Elijah? Oh, you are not with me. You see, you are not seeing the permutation that I'm trying to draw out. John the Baptist was supposed to go in the spirit and what? In the power of Elijah. So our denominator in this, our research, is Elijah. Are you there? That's our denominator. We'll divide everything by Elijah. So these guys came to the border of Samaria, and because the people refused to accept them, into the, they rejected them, because Jesus was as though his face was set to go to Jerusalem. Then I said, okay, don't come here again. And James and John now called Jesus and said, you've been educating us all this while, teaching us about Elijah and how to release the fire of Elijah. So these guys were competent in releasing fire from heaven, these guys. They were trained to do it. And then they asked Jesus, is this not a perfect opportunity for us to release fire from heaven to consume them as Elijah did? Stay there. Now, this is what I want you to see. Are you tired? I can't hear you. Now, see. You know, the equation is spirit and power. So this one now is power. What they are querying here is... Okay, leave it. You are not following. Let's go to the next verse. These guys, Jesus knew that they had the power to do it. So the issue was not whether they had power or not. Is that clear? Verse 55. The problem was in verse 55. He turned and rebuked them. What did he say? Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. You see, they already had power, but they didn't have knowledge of the nature of the spirit that was responsible for the power that they wanted to wield. See, let me explain to you. I have the gift of word of knowledge. If I ask the choir to sing one song, I can begin to pick things about you. I can even know how much money you have in your purse. Yeah. God will show me things that, all kinds of things. If he gives me, I'm still asking him for permission. If he gives me the permission, I'll ask the choir to sing. And I will start from there. Revealing people's secrets. I can do that. But you see, the problem is I can pick that sister's, how much she has, and tell her that the Lord has need of her money. But that one is me that told her. So what I have done is that I use spiritual gifts to steal from her, because I don't know the nature of the spirit that is responsible for the manifestation. I have misrepresented the spirit that is responsible for the manifestation. So the fact that I have an ability from the Spirit of God doesn't mean that I will use the ability. Especially if the way I want to use the ability is inconsistent with the nature of the spirit that I have received. So what is queried in this scripture is spirit. The query here is what? And we are using Elijah as the denominator, as I said. You get this one? Let's go to the next one. Because in some cases, the problem that God has is not with the fact that you don't have power. The problem God has is that you do not know the spirit that is responsible for that power. So you misrepresent the Spirit whenever you are trying to administer the abilities that the Spirit makes available. And you are supposed to go in the Spirit and in the John chapter 1 verse 40. Who is there? John 1 40. Okay, go to John 10, 40 and 41. John 10. And went away again beyond the Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. 41. And many resorted unto him and said, this was the testimony of people, that what? John did no miracle. Can you see the query here? The query is lack of power. John was supposed to go in the Spirit. Oh, you are not with me. And in the power of Elijah. But because John did not have a good knowledge of his identity, he operated in the Spirit of Elijah. Bore witness to kings. He bore witness to the society. In fact, his dress code came by inspiration. He dressed with camel, with a camel skin. His dressing was like the dressing of Elijah, even though they were thousands of years apart. The inspiration that came upon Elijah, that was responsible for his dressing, came upon John too, and John dressed like that. The menu that Elijah ate, wild locust and honey, was a product of inspiration. He depicted in full form the spirit of Elijah. You will know that it was Elijah's spirit that was upon him. But there was a query. The query that was that he did not have Elijah's power because he had an identity crisis. His father did not download to him his identity as it was captured by the witness and the testimony of the angel he encountered while he went to serve the office of his priesthood. There will always be a shortfall in your capacity as long as you are not acquainted with your true identity. There will be a shortfall. Well, it will interest you to know the reason why I came here is because it's the same spirit of Elijah that I have. That's what I have. You know, many preachers are cool, calm, and collected, and they are very orderly. But some are radicals. You see, it's not their fault. It is the spirit. May the Lord give you understanding. I will not say more than that now. I will not. So, because of a wrong identity, there was a shortfall in his capacity in ministry. And I pray today that God will help us find our identities in the name of Jesus Christ. In order for you to know your true identity as captured in the framework of God's eternal purpose, there are four indices that you must study very diligently. Your essence, your definition, what your life consists is defined by these four indices. The first, number one, is the anointing that you carry. Come with me to the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Quickly. Let me go there myself. Luke 4. Okay, let's begin from verse 16. Luke 4 verse 16 to verse 18. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him
a book of the prophet Isaiah. And he had opened, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He did not open it randomly. He did not open it circumstantially. He opened it and found a place. He found. It means there was a place he was looking for. This was what was written where he found. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The full scope of the errand that the anointing that was upon Jesus was sent to accomplish was captured in the place where he found. Now, I need to ask you a question quickly. Are you with me? The full place, the full errand of the deposit of the Spirit that he had was captured in the scripture where he found. It means that scripture was about him. Now, the question I have for you is, have you found your own scripture? See, the Bible is a very prophetic book, and it had anticipated your coming. It had so much capacity that it anticipated your arrival. And details about your arrival are captured in the scriptures. Just like Jesus was able to find himself in the scriptures, you are supposed to find yourself in the scriptures. And if you have not found yourself in the scriptures, you don't exist. I know you are in Cape Coast. I know you are trying to get a certificate. But in the maze of God's eternal purpose, you're getting a certificate, even though it is very good, and I encourage you to get a first class. It has not added anything to the agenda of God. You can be a successful person, and heaven is not aware of you. Heaven believes you ran away from the prison house of God's government. You are a wolf. They are looking for you in the desert, looking for you at Cape Coast. Because you are not available. Just like John the Baptist, I told you, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came. The way they sent him from the studio, that was how he came into time. But many of us, the way they sent you from the studio, when you arrived time, you changed. You became something else. So the angels are looking for you. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I have a connection with the depraved. And this poverty he spoke about is not, it is inclusive of financial poverty, but it goes way beyond it. Because he gives us a list of poverties subsequently. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted is poor of tranquility. He has a poverty of tranquility. So he has ability to deal with it. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captive. His own poverty is in the area of liberty. Are you there? Recovering of sight to the blind. This one's poverty. So those are lists of different types of poverty. And as long as it is any form of poverty, for instance, Jesus has an anointing that has an errand to do damage to poverty. Have you found yourself in the scripture like Jesus? He found where it was written. That scripture. Okay. Go on. Set at liberty. And there was delivered. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Next verse. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So I am the fulfillment of this scripture. And the reason for which this scripture was written in the Bible. Is there a scripture that is in the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation that you can read and say, this day? This day, this scripture is fulfilled. You know, are you there? Because I need to show you my own so that you will know that this matter, I'm not just preaching at you and trying to flog you. I have my own identity in scripture. Okay, this is my own encounter. Come with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. This is my story. You will find my story in Jeremiah chapter 1.
Oh my God, this my technical man doesn't want to support me anymore. All right. Jeremiah chapter 1. I was in fasting and praying about 27 years ago. Was it 27 years? Something like that. 27, 28 years ago. I was in serious fasting and serious prayer. Then I found myself in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, beginning from verse 9 and 10. That is me. You know, you have heard my story before. I told you I was born in Samara, and I couldn't make a word. I couldn't make that brain-wise, I can try. But speaking was not part of the things I had the ability to do. I had an encounter with Jesus. The Bible says, and the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. That is me. This is my own story. I'm not found in Isaiah. I'm found where?
In Jeremiah.
Now, if you are not in Isaiah, you are not in Jeremiah, you are not in Zephaniah, you are not in Zechariah, you don't exist. You are in limbo. You don't have a reference point. He put forth his hand and touched my mouth. That's my story. That's what God did to me. He touched my mouth. And he said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Stop. You're about to go into that you're clapping again. The clap, the one you did yesterday has covered for the weekend. Even if we come next year, the one you have done this time has covered for next year. He said, I have put my words in your mouth. You need to understand the meaning of that. What does it mean? Does it mean that everything that I wanted you to say, I have given you, I have put it in your mouth so that you can be saying it when I want you to say it? Is that what I mean? No. He was telling Jeremiah that there was an impartation of the spirit of utterance upon him. The vocabulary that is required to carry the revelation God will use him to speak, he received it by impartation, the impartation of the spirit of utterance. If my mom were here, she would have testified of my inability to speak. I was excellent in class, excellent. I will come out tops, but I can't talk. It was when I had this encounter. God did not only give me the ability to speak, but he gave me utterance. He gave me a set of vocabulary. You will not know that I don't study the dictionary for English. He gave me vocabulary, such vocabulary that has the capacity to carry the revelation he has called me to communicate. The moment I know what God wants to say, I don't look for the words. Because he put his words where? I have so much confidence in that grace of utterance. So much. It's when I teach on the book of Revelation that you will know that, yes, this man, they put something inside. The words to communicate the mind of God in simple, plain language that Jesus would have done if he were physically present teaching us. It came to me by. I don't want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to explain that scripture more. But then, after he gave me utterance, he now said, see, I have this day set thee over nations. This is where I discovered that I had an international ministry. Over kingdoms. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Can you see that four of his activities were destructive? Only two were constructive. Can you see? You are not following me. You are not. That's why. That's how my ministry is. When somebody comes and is beginning to build falsehood in the body of Christ, I can't sleep until I break it.
I can't sleep.
Because I'm called to do what? To root out. To pull down. To destroy. Some people try to attack me because, that is, physically, because I scattered the falsehood they were building. They died overnight. Because I was not doing it. It was not me doing it. It's my calling. The great one called me to do it. Who am I? My calling empowers me to have that authority in the body of Christ. And that is the reason why I paid the price in terms of physical discipline to live right. So that I can have the moral latitude to tell you that you, that you are in sin, that you are in darkness even now. Are you there? Now, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down before we build and plant. So I'm also a builder and planter, but I'm a destructive instrument. And I understand myself very well. And God told me that this kind of ministry, you are going to be persecuted. So I'm at home with persecution. It's part of the, what? The package. If you don't know the anointing you carry and the errand that the anointing is sent to accomplish, you will cry behind the cupboard. There is an unusual grace God gives me when men try to fight me. Oh, I become anointed. I grow. Because it is part of my calling. Who are you? Have you found your scripture? The scripture that reveals your identity. That's why you don't know your battles. That's why you don't understand your seasons. That's why you don't know your cycles. That's why you don't understand the ammunition that Satan is using against you, because you don't know who you are. The people that came for John said, what do you say about yourself? Many people have said many things about you, but now, what are you saying about? Remember, Babylon wants to give you another identity so that you will live off a different perspective that is incongruous with your destiny in the kingdom of God. Are you there? So the anointing that you carry, the understanding of that anointing gives you an insight into your description in the kingdom of God. You must have heard me say this again and again. But if you want everybody on the street to like you, what do? Sell ice cream. Sell ice cream. Just go and look for ice cream and you blow the horn. The whole place. But if you want to do ministry, Yakabo Maria said, I didn't choose this. The great one, he did. He made me a customs officer. So when people are trafficking with contraband, said, no, this is not of the kingdom. This is of darkness. Because many people have said, oh, this guy is just a troublesome. He likes trouble. It is what is here that makes you like that. Jesus knew the errand of the anointing that was upon. Find your scripture. Find yourself in the Holy Book. There is a verse that speaks about you. There's a chain of scriptures that describes your manifestation. The Bible, being a prophetic book, anticipated your coming, and your journey is captured in scriptures. The anointing that you carry, it's a description of your identity. Give me 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, as I try to close that up and go to number 2 quickly. We don't have time to talk. Today is for signs and wonders. So this is the anointing that was upon Paul. This is the ability of the anointing that was upon Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, he speaks about that anointing. But I would like us to begin the reading from verse number 6. Before we move into 7, can you go to 6? Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. So, Apostle Paul had the anointing of a preacher. I am ordained an apostle. He had the anointing of apostleship to establish
to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God, to extend the coverage of God's reign and dominion. He had such authority rooted in the apostolic anointing that he had. He said, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher. So, Apostle Paul had the anointing of a preacher. What a preacher does is that he motivates people after righteousness. What a teacher does is that he grants people into the ideologies and the ideals of the kingdom of God. What the apostle does is that he opens new frontiers for the kingdom and brings the body of Christ into the new things and the new technologies that God is making available to the body. He was able to identify that the grace of a preacher, the grace of a teacher, and the grace of the apostle was upon his life. The difference between me and Apostle Paul is that Apostle Paul was first a preacher. Are you there? Then an apostle, then a teacher. I am first a teacher, then an apostle, before a preacher. So any man serving God should be able to describe the texture of the ability, the grace that is at work on his life. It will give you an insight to know what God has not called you to do. So you will just focus. Jesus. Are you there? Those days when we were in the village, one man said he had an encounter with Jesus. And that Jesus told him that he was going to build a 30,000 seater auditorium in a certain city. That is the revivalist of our generation. That heaven has endorsed him. Do you know what? That his vision was only true in his diary. That was... May the things God has spoken to you may it not die in your diary. In the name of Jesus. I'm ordained a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. I am ordained a teacher, an apostle, and a preacher. But what are you ordained? Or you it's only the poster and the hand build that knows that you are a prophet. But there is no deposit of the prophetic in your life. When you try to behave like a prophet, you lie to deceive the congregation. If there is something you are ordained, find it. Stop masquerading. Ministry is not that hard. God is the one that gives us the empowerment to do his will. God will not call you to serve his will and not give you what it takes to do so. If you decide to stand under a false identity, you will need to be doing it. Stage management until old age. I think it will... Ah, Jesus Christ. It's a great body. It's a body. It's a body. It's a body. Find the anointing that is upon your life. To flow in the teaching anointing, it comes so easily to me. Like when I finished preaching this morning, I didn't know what I'll preach this evening. I went to his presence and I stretched myself. And I will remain there until he comes. So he came to me and said, go this way. The moment he gives me the idea, what to say is not a problem. To build the architecture of the emphasis, he doesn't need to. He has already given me the software to develop that. It depends on how many hours you are willing to stay here. That software can produce results, can produce. It's an ancient software that was downloaded. Because I have grace to expound the counsel of God. I have grace to teach. And it is not by power. I'm not saying this to exalt myself. I am nothing without grace. If you see me without grace, the symptoms of stammering will come back and you will know there's nothing good in me to behold. Oh, one of those times I did something, the Holy Ghost was angry and he left. All the stammering he delivered me from. You don't want to see me like that. So, he showed me that he did not deliver me from the stammering. Any day I become stubborn. So, because I know that I will end up stammering again, I decided to follow him. If you see, you know, you will never see me. Jesus. When you know who you are, then you can understand the workings of the
anointing that is upon your life. You will flow in it. How many of you were in the service this morning? It was here I got that message. When those guys were doing like this. In the morning. It didn't drop. So, when they were doing that thing like this, and I was laughing, it was not because I was seeing them. I was something, the anointing was bringing. You need to know who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, when you study the anointing that is upon your life, it gives you an idea of who you are in the spirit. Number two, when you study the assignment that God has given you, it gives you an idea of who you are in the spirit. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Galatians 2, verse 7 and 8. Can you go to 7 verse 5? Then we'll do 5, 6, 7, 8. Galatians 2, 5. To whom we give place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For there who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. This is Paul speaking, that they went to a conference. They went for a conference. Are you there? So many people came somewhere, had titles, big titles. And the man is saying that the people that seem to be somewhat, the people that seem to be, have the loudest names. When they came for the conference, they discovered that what? They added nothing to him. This Paul. You see, when you begin to know who you are, you begin to discover that there are certain people that have the grace to be able to minister to you. That's when you begin to discover your clan, the language in your clan, the emphasis in your clan. You know, the body of Christ is vast, but you belong to a clan. When you hear the voice of your clan, you will know, I understand this language. It ministers to the core of my being. Paul went to conference and he said that the people that were what? Who seemed to be somewhat in conference, they added what? Nothing to me. Next one. But contrarywise, when they saw in the same conference, are you there? That the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. You see, his anointing was in keeping with a certain strange assignment. It was the one that was designed by God as a technocrat that would take the gospel to the uncircumcised. And they saw that that was how his anointing was functioning. Because of the assignment that God gave him. And he now understood that Peter was the guy that had the anointing to reach out to the Jews. When they discovered this, what happened? For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. This was the workings of the anointing that he had. Next verse. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They identified them according to their assignment and the effectual workings of the grace of God upon their life. Now, I'm praying that a day will come in the body of Christ where people will be accepted according to the description of the grace of God that is at work in them. You know, are you there? That level of knowledge needs to come into the body of Christ. That this is what Jehovah sent this man to do. We need to give him a right hand of fellowship in keeping with the grace and the stature that he has in the body of Christ. Today, We know men after the flesh. But Paul says henceforth. Know we no man after the flesh. Every man is supposed to be known in the crucible of his ordination, in the depth of the investment of God that is upon his life, so that we can accept them according to what God had made them. Your assignment is a description of your identity. So Paul knew that he was an ambassador to the Gentiles. He wasn't looking for pulpits in Jerusalem. He wasn't looking for pulpits in Judea. He knew that his place was in Assyria. In fact, are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Do you know that Damascus, where he met with Jesus, was not in Jerusalem, was not in Israel, it was in Assyria. Even where God encountered him was not in the land of Israel, because his destiny was international. He was going to go beyond home to be a witness to people that had no knowledge of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was a different kind of training that he needed in order for him to be competent in that kind of mission. Today, all of us are cloned to be alike. Meanwhile, the anointing upon us is not alike. Oh my God, I pray your eyes will be open to understand what I'm saying this evening. Our strength in the body of Christ is tied to our diversity. But today, cloning is confused for covering. And people come out and they are not fully furnished. They don't have a grip on the handle of grace. And when they meet with Satan, they are no match. Territories conquer people, swallow people up. Mission fields swallow up people because they don't understand. They have not grown in the dexterity of the spiritual capital that God has made available to them. Instead, the pillars of the house of God identified him. And the pillars, there were three of them there: James, Peter, and John. They identified him. If we go further, because many people say that Paul didn't have a father in the Lord, if we go further, I will show you how that he submitted under Peter. Because this is the scripture from whence people say they were colleagues. But that was not the case. I will show you. But that's not the argument tonight. Just forget about it. The pillars identified that Paul had the grace that they did not have. So they gave them the right hand of fellowship to go into their mission field, because their identity was consistent with their anointing. The anointing upon your life, you can only understand it fully when you know the assignment it was designed to accomplish. They gave us the right hand of fellowship and then did what? That we should go unto the hidden and there unto the circumcision. That is what we call meiosis. You know, we have mitosis and meiosis. This is meiosis. This is what we call cellular differentiation. Some people knew that the anointing they had was designed for the Jews, and they were going to face that mission field squarely. People like Peter, people like Paul were released to the hidden. He became the first apologist that could begin to preach the gospel by going to where their shrine. He will see their gods and then see that, okay, this one has no labor. He begins his argument from the unknown God. Because he couldn't quote the Bible to those guys. They had no reference point. They did not believe in the authority of the Bible. This man was a philosopher and a scholar. And he had to be that in order for him to preach to the Greeks and Athens, the home of philosophy. He fell to Jesus because there was a man called Apostle Paul. He said there are fields that are vacant because the people that are supposed to operate there have not understood the anointing that they carry. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will grant you illumination. You will know what God has put upon your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm not called as a worshiper. When I did the other day, you know that I used to play. Yes. So I now discovered I will spend 8 hours here playing reggae. And I was not excelling. I went to inquire of the Lord. Is this? He said there's nothing like this. So I left it. Because I can't prosper. You don't understand it. Okay, take your guitar. Take your guitar. Let he will do something now. You can't just begin to do this kind of thing. There must be grace first before you come here. I was doing this type reggae. Hey, what is that reggae song that we used to sing again? I become old. Now, this is the reggae song in Nigeria. Give me. Just strike your chord.
Jesus is the answer.
No, reggae.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
The idea, I didn't say support me, don't support. So that was what I was doing. This time. May you not be in the wrong place in the name of Jesus. If we allow her now, the Holy Ghost will cease the service. We don't want that dimension yet. Because these ones have the anointing for worship. They can compel God to come down. Yes. My own anointing is teaching. As I'm teaching, God comes down. That's a proof that he called me to teach. If you do what you are doing and God doesn't come down, stop and go and ask God. Am I? No! A lot of us get...
Okay.
The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23. I think I will stop there. Even though there are some other points, there are a few points, but I have to stop. I was doing playing keyboard. Then the symptoms of the stammering were still there. I was already in the university. Then Jesus now encountered me and said, I put my words. Recently, my pastor that I played keyboard for came and saw what God was doing with me and said, you? Are you the one? I don't know. It's grace. And he blessed me. Because nobody knew that the keyboard boy would be an apostle to nations. You see, you don't look like you're calling. You don't look like it. The way you're looking, sister, the way you're looking, you don't look like you're calling. The calling will reveal you in such a way that your mother has never identified you. He said, if you continue with the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I am made a minister. Now stop there. Do you know why you were made a minister? Paul knew. Because he could not separate his life, his meaning, from his calling, his assignment. He said, this is why I am made. What? A minister. Go on. Because he knew why he was called into ministry, he could rejoice even when he suffered. Because he counted his labor in the kingdom of God as a privilege that God was making available to him to serve the will of God. Have you ever seen someone that is in ministry and maybe things are not happening and the person is becoming frustrated? Paul rejoiced. Because he had an understanding of the reason why he was called. Whether your name is known or your name is not known, that's not the reason why you are called. But there is a certain will of God that you are called to accomplish. And it will interest you to know that not all of us will be big preachers. Not all of us. Whether or not you are going to be a big preacher is already wired into your ministry DNA. Some will never be known because they will be on the countryside. God will never allow them to move from Cape Coast to Accra to plant anything. And in the shadows of Cape Coast, they will labor and labor and labor all through their lives. It is like that sometimes. You know, I need to say this to younger ministers that are looking for opportunities to become visible. If visibility is not what God is giving you, it will become the corruption that will destroy your soul. And we will need to even pray for you to make it to heaven. Who told you that I wanted to be visible in the world? Who told you? I saw people that were visible. How, if they make a mistake, the whole generation will never forgive them. I saw the danger of being visible, and I did not desire it. I am here because it is part of my allotment in God. And I had battled with God. I battled with God with so many questions. One of the questions was, okay, you called Saul, eh? Why was he corrupt? You wanted to establish his kingdom forever. That was your desire. But he couldn't live up to it. Why are you calling me? Can you guarantee that I will not end up like, yes, I prayed those prayers for years. For years. Visibility was not something I desired. Meanwhile, I was working in the oil industry. I had money. I had enough money to build anything I wanted to build. But instead of building anything I wanted to build, we were building ministry. You need to see the ghettos that I stayed. A young pastor that claimed to be submitting to me took millions of money and went and rented a house. Then I called him. I said, come. I asked Philip to drive him to the houses I stayed, the ghettos. Then when he came back, I asked him, what are you looking for? It is obvious it's not ministry. Go away. When you want to do ministry, you can come. But now you are a thief. You know what? I said the truth in the morning so that in the night you will not be confused. He was using Jesus as an opportunity to live large. Meanwhile, I was given the opportunity to live large in the oil industry. I live like a villager so that we could push the kingdom of God. Today, God insisted that I must come into limelight. I know how much I fought him. And we do it with utmost humility, checking our lives before his face every evening, so that our soul will not drift to places it should not go. Because I know the vanity of being visible. You are putting yourself everywhere. May God allow your soul to cross into light. It's like performance. It's like show business. It's like a reality TV show. That's what ministry is. You don't know the dread of God. So even though we preach well, we still need to go to Jesus in the night and say, I hope we are okay. Say well. And sometimes he will not speak until daybreak. Every day check so that your soul will not journey into vanity. And you will still think you are serving God. It's the old prophets that trained us. The ones that saw Jesus face to face. Those are the ones that trained us. and they told us what ministry was. We all ran away. After they told us, we ran away. It was God that haunted us. I said, you can't escape. Come. Because they told us it's like dying. That you'll be giving sacrifice. Sacrifice is the fuel that drives you. The day you stop sacrificing, everything will stop. I said, I don't have that much to give up. I escaped. The great one haunted me in the night. For years! Then I told him that, okay, if I'm going to go for you, let me see you. That was the day the Holy Spirit allowed me to see him. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, you will know, I saw him. So now I cannot lie. I cannot deny that he's not true. I left my job when it was most lucrative to stab him because I saw him. I didn't come to look for money, to raise money. No. I am happy to suffer for him. If that will serve his will. We understand what ministry is. It's not about you. It's about God. I haven't done all this. If I close my eyes now and say, in the name of Jesus, he will come here. Because he knows the sacrifice that has gone down. You don't have any sacrifice, you want him to come and defend you. You are in limbo. He will take from you. Take your ambition. Take your pride. Take your ego away. And when there's nothing left, he will now say, you are good enough now for me to use you. And when you give him half a chance, he will take you through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will leave you there for a long time until that which you are afraid of will become afraid of you. When he brings you to the surface, there is nothing living or dead that will have the authority that you will have from him. Then he sends you to deliver nations. I was in South Africa when the power of God came down. A lady stood up and said, I am the serpent from the river of Zimbabwe and I've come to kill. She didn't finish it before I rebuked the spirit. She didn't finish it. Witches have cursed me in Zulu. They cursed me in Zimbabwe language. They have cursed me in what do they call that language in Zimbabwe? They've cursed me in many languages in Africa. But you know what? I'm still here. I'm still here. It will take more than a curse to bring me down. Go deep with God. Go big in your spirit. Go deep in your spirit. When you do that, even nature will respond to you. You are looking for money? If you go deep enough, money will look for you. Did he not say to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And all other things shall be added. It will navigate in your direction. Don't seek money. Don't seek influence. Seek Jesus. He will raise you by his hand and give you such influence that you will have grace enough to contain. If you get it yourself, you will embrace mammon. That day has come for God to muster his army. And the sound of that army is different from what has existed in the last 35 years. A new breed without greed. A radical opposition against unrighteousness. Men that fear God, men that hate sin, will begin to rise in the terrain. The witchcraft that you have heard of, the handle of warlocks in northern Ghana will fall. Because the gospel will hit that part of Ghana so much. And most of the evangelists and missionaries that you will see will are former sons of the bondwoman. Watch it. God will hit the north. You think it's something will happen in Accra? You will wait for long. God moved from that place. And I came to tell you that. You believe that your ministry has not started until you have a place at Spintex. Those men in the north you are seeing, something is going there. Something so heavy. The sons of sorcerers will become evangelists and prophets. Watch it. Not the kind of prophets that, not disciples, the type that speak for God. Their mouths have not been bought. You will see the sons of the north. We do miracles, signs, wonders. Men that you, oh my, same things will happen from quarters you never, never expected. Even the land of Cape Coast will raise some people that will come out of here. We check the topography of Christianity in this nation. The days of half measures and talk are over. Now the days of true prophets and apostles has come. Witness will be born. And the altars and high towers of Satan will fall. And falsehood will die a natural death. This is the day upon which we have come. We are going to... Oh! You see, He has come. He has come. He shines on me. Your grace, He shines on me. He shines on me. Is your grace? He shines on me. Your grace is shines on me. Oh my Father. It shines on me. Is your grace. It shines on me. Your grace is shining on me. It shines on me. Is your grace? It shines on me. Your grace is shining on me. It shines on me. For the light is your grace. Your grace shines on me. It shines on me. Your grace is shining on me. It shines on me.
in a moment of time, can you say to him, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. I want to do your will. Empower me. Grant unto me the grace. Grant unto me the anointing. Give unto me the empowerment that I need. Of you on campus, is releasing grace upon you so that your roommates, your classmates, people around your life will be influenced by the investment of God that is upon you. We need to set the campus ablaze. Men need to find Jesus. The revival must spread. To shine on your life with his prayer.
stability over your life will be on the increase. Christ will be given unto you. This is the time of revival. Grace upon your life will increase tonight. An army of grace will be unleashed on the land. This is why we came, oh God, that a little one might become a thousand. That a small one might become a strong nation. Strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man. Give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Father, we submit to you to serve you. Each and every one of us in the area of our callings, the area of our assignments. Grant that there be fresh empowerment upon everyone that is in attendance in this meeting and those that are participating online in the name of Jesus Christ. Let this meeting be the reference point for a new beginning of dealings that you will bring upon our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. All right, we'll begin to pray for the sick. Let me give you a few instructions. If the person that is sick or afflicted is not here, you can switch on your cell phone, call the person. Keep the cell phone running while I pray. If you have an eye condition, lay your hands on your eyes. If any of your ears is deaf, take this finger, put it in the ear that is deaf, and seal it up completely. Completely. You came with someone that is crippled. Lay your hands on the person's legs. Is there any symptom of paralysis? Maybe on the hands, fingers. Lay your hands on it. Inside and outside. Miracles will break out outside massively. All kinds of things will begin to take place. Demons will leave people. Bondages will be broken. The Lord will set men and women at liberty. And those that are online will receive miracles in your bedrooms, in your sitting rooms. Your children will begin to see right there in your sitting room. Put your hand where the pain is. There's a condition of the lungs. Put your hand there. Condition of the heart. Put your hand there. Pain on the back. Put your hand on it. Make the call quickly. Make the call quickly. If I say in the name of Jesus, you say amen. In the name of Jesus. I want the people that are on campus to know that the church has risen with power and glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I see in the spirit demons coming to visit people and torment them in the dreams. I destroy the power of torment in the dreams in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hey. There are people here unknown to you while you were yet very young. You were dedicated to demonic altars and your life cannot be straight because of the influence of devils. Today, I judge those altars and I cut you off from it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hey, I see people that have been taken on a journey into distant darkness. Today, I call you, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. 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 Now I rebuke every sickness, every pain, every disease, every curse, every affliction. I break your hold in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirit be bound in the name of Jesus. I cast out every curse pronounced maybe on you by your mother, by your grandmother, by the spirits that were summoned to intercept your life from demonic altars. I break the hold of the devil and the yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey! An altar is falling. It's falling. It's falling. It's falling. It's falling. Release your captives in the name of Jesus. I command the pain to go. I command the paralysis to go. I command the affliction to go. I command the curse to go. Go! 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 In the name of Jesus! were someone in this place, your name was taken. Your name was taken so that your blood will be spilled to settle an account in the kingdom of darkness. But I intercept that plan right now. I intercept it right now. I intercept it right now. I intercept it right now. I break the yoke right now. I release you with the name of Jesus. I command that pain, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to the eyes. I see in Jesus' name. I speak to the ears. Hear in Jesus' name. Is there anyone that is lame? I challenge you, walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Those ones that are connecting by the phone, I send the healing power of God your way in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, the yokes are beginning to break. It is breaking. Is how many times now? Five. In the name of peace. Something is about to fall. Something is falling. It will fall from Cape Coast. It will fall from Ghana. It will fall from your family. Oh, things have been uprooted. They have been uprooted. They have been uprooted. They have been uprooted. They have been uprooted right now. They have been uprooted. We uproot them in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hey, there is power.
those who have started, for those of you that made calls, inquire from the people that you called to find out if there is any change. If you notice that there is a change in your situation, maybe you can see, you can hear, the pains have gone, you can walk, you can talk. Now, you come this way. You come this way. I'll take 5 or 6 testimonies. Then, such as I've received from the Lord, I will give you. This is where you will come. You come this way, okay? My left hand side. My left hand side. My left hand side. Come this way. Come, come. You notice the pain has gone. You can hear in your ear. Come, come, come this way. Come this way. We'll take 5 testimonies. And after 5 testimonies, I will list something on you. Write my number on a sheet of paper. Give to this man. Now, the miracles will continue to 12 midnight, so you don't need to be in a hurry. Some of you, when you are going home, your ears will start. Just hold on. Don't worry. Don't worry. But if it has already happened, you can join us up on stage. And let us know what God has done. Let us know what God has done. Let us know what God has done. Can you give them a microphone that is functional, please? We don't have time to waste.
Papa, there is a testimony here.
It's a testimony. Now, this is what you do for me. Those of you in the congregation, just sit down. Sit down. That's good. Okay. Those of you outside, you don't need to run away. I'm going to come there and release a deposit on your life. The deposit will be released on you. Yes, please. What's going on there?
Yeah. Papa, our sister here had an issue with the eye.
She had an issue with the eye.
She couldn't see from afar.
She couldn't see
but
from
after
afar.
The prayer.
For how many years has that been?
Since I was in class 6.
Since she was in class 6. Is that the description of short-sightedness? What's the name of short-sightedness? So she's been short-sighted since she was in primary 6. That's how many years from now? How many years now?
I think 7 years.
7 years? 7 years. All right, come. So 7 years, short-sighted. The Lord has corrected. Now, hallelujah. Some of the people you called online are healed. The phone call, if some of them are healed, I already see like 3 healings that came through the cell phone. So if yours is one in that category, you can step out here and share your testimony. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we thank you for this miracle. We ask that you make it permanent in the name of Jesus. Yes. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate. Now, on this road, there are 4 people that the Lord wants me to meet on this road. And in the next 12 seconds, the Lord will descend on them. There are 4 of them on this road. Father, in the
name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you pass through this robe. Pass through this robe and help me find those four individuals that you have sent me to. Let your hand be so strong upon them. Let your hand be so strong upon them. So strong upon them. So strong. So strong upon them.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Is because there is someone that is about to be restored and an anointing will come upon you. This will happen in 8 seconds. Can you bring them to me?
Two years ago,
she had a dream, and in the dream, someone beat her left breast.
But after the prayer,
the left breast has been healed. The pain is gone.
The pain on the breast
is gone.
Attack you. Oh my God. It's not, hold this. Her healing is not complete yet, okay? Yeah, you are free now. wait. We can, if you want, I can send judgment to that witch. Yes, this night. If you want.
Weep not. Weep not. Weep not. Okay, let me pray in tongues for standing. Let me pray in tongues for 1 minute. Then and confirm what is in my spirit. Can you help me? Help me. Help me. So that we can pray in tongues. I need to hear God now. I need to hear God. Both take it. Receive a miracle from God. There is so comile tia capas ubermantan. Urashke tobendo combina is a mahalakatia. Yeah. Please go.
Papa, for 11 good years.
What?
For 11 good years.
No. Wait. I'm looking for someone that God opened the ear. One of the persons here. Well, that's not my fault. What happened there? I don't know anything about it. Not aware of it. Someone's ear popped open. You were deaf in one ear. The Lord sent me to you, so I'm waiting for you. Yeah, go on.
For 11 good years, she couldn't see from afar. After the prayers, she can now see properly.
She was short-sighted?
Yes, short-sighted.
Come. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. Now, it seems God wants to give you something apart from your healing. Look upon this one with mercy. Let your grace descend upon this vessel. In the name of Jesus. Go.
Papa, this is a digital miracle.
Digital miracle?
Yes. A mommy for 1 week couldn't walk. She had a sore on her left leg.
A mommy could not walk. Where's your mom?
That's what?
Where's that place?
That's somewhere getting to Accra.
Oh, far away.
Yes.
What's the transport fare from Cape Coast to that place? Huh? 60 cities, 45 cities? Okay. See, depending on the time. Well, I see. But God did not need transport. He just... Yeah, so what happened to your mom?
So after the prayer, her mommy could walk. It means, according to him, her mommy ran from the room.
Okay, her mommy began to walk. We use you as a point of contact to reach your mom. Oh my God. Yes, it's true. Yeah, go. Someone's ear open. I am waiting for you. Your ear, one of your ear was blocked and it's open. I'm waiting for you. If I see you, I will stop talking. Yes?
Our brother here is a footballer.
Footballer?
Yeah, for 2 months, he broke his leg.
Oh, my God.
Yes, but when he came here...
Can you see his leg?
Yeah, even he had the x-ray of the foot.
Oh, yes, the x-ray?
Yes.
So what happened there?
He couldn't walk to this place.
Couldn't walk?
But after the prayer...
He can walk. Yeah. Walk.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Now we want to bless your career. The same power that gave you strength to walk tonight will take you to the nations and pedestal you in your career as a footballer. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lama Korea Rabaske. The Lord is speaking to me about that woman that I just prayed for. She's gone. There's a strange judgment that will take place in your family. The enemies that have kept you bound. The judgment that comes upon them is coming. I am looking for that individual. The person had a blocked ear that opened during the prayers. There is a judgment. It will run for 3 months in that family. And the conspirators, men that came together to unite against you to ensure that you experience no joy, the Lord will make them cry. Go. Come. I've been calling you and you have refused to come. You thought I was joking? The Lord spoke to me that He healed an ear. So go there and tell your story. Now listen. I see something. There are five people on this road. Right? These five people I'm talking about, they have the calling of prophetic intercessors. God wants to increase your rank, so the anointing will come upon you. It will come so strong. It will come strong. It will come strong. It will come strong. It will come strong. He promotes you. He promotes you. He promotes you even now. Oh. See, the angel with oil has come. The one with oil. And a drop of oil came on my head here. It means that God is anointing people now. He's anointing people now. He's anointing people now. The spiritual climate over this campus has just changed. There's a shift. Oh. Aristophete man de Kuria Mahabala. Is also Ilocombe Sika. Bahambara Sokobaite. Rosketabonde Kende Sima Abalai Tokobelas. Zofre Eskomba Mami Satalaito Remis Kofolomasi. There are people that are even receiving the gift of prophecy as I speak. Yeah. They are receiving the gift of prophecy already. Because we have entered into the place that is called the Holy of Holies. And the Lord is beginning to unravel the might of His glory. We shall
for 4 good years. For 4 good years.
4 years?
Yes. She couldn't hear properly.
She couldn't hear properly.
But after the prayer, that after the prayer, have been dealt with.
The ears open.
Yes, sir.
Now we... Thank you, Lord. Let's take a walk. Let's take a walk. Now, there are two of you I'm looking for. And the Lord will... You don't need to stand up. Don't need to stand up. Father, those two that you are looking for, sit down so that it will be easy for us. Those two that you are looking for here, those two, help me find them. 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 Put your hand on them. Put your hand on them. Help me find them. Help me find them. Help me find them. Help me find them. Put your spirit, put your anointing upon those two that are here. Those two ladies, those two ladies. Let it come strong. Let it come strong. Let it come strong. Holy Ghost. I have will rest on you. Part of the grace. Part of the grace to rest on you. Part of the grace I carry will rest upon your life. And it will come so strong. It will come so strong. It will come so strong. Nothing will resist it. Nothing will resist it. Holy Ghost! Listen to me. There is something I received from God.
7 people that will receive it from me. Where you are seated or standing, God will visit you. In the next 21 seconds after I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, put this anointing on 7 of them. From my left hand side to my right hand side to the back of the crowd. Put the anointing on 7 of them. 7 of them. 7 of them. 7 of them. Holy Ghost. 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 Move. Grace, in the name of Jesus. Grace in the name of Jesus. Everybody had just moved. Touch everybody. Yeah, I want to see everyone that I touched to the end. The usher, oh my. You do what you are not asked to do. Okay, let me try. This they have missed it. Let me start from here. Don't do anything. Just sit down. Okay. Now I have touched all these people on this edge. The reason why I touched you is because I'm looking for 3 of you. So the hand of God will descend on those 3 that I'm looking for. Father, show me those three. Show me three of them. Show me three of them. Show me three of them. Let your hand come upon them. Come upon them with power, with might. Those of you still lining up to give a testimony, the Lord will anoint one of you. I'm looking for that one. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, anoint that one, anoint that one, anoint that one. There's still an increase, there's an increase. There's an increase. There's an increase. In the name of Jesus, go with this increase. Now, those people here, have you repented now? You have repented? The ones here. Is there repentance? Okay, let's do it again. Don't worry, don't worry. I'm okay. I'm okay. Now, I'm looking for two of you, on this line. Two of you. So the anointing has come up. Okay. Oh my God. Two of them are already arrested. Let's add. How many can we add? Okay. There's one more. It's coming strong. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Help me find that one. In the name of Jesus. Anything wrong with that baby? Why are you carrying that baby around? Is there a problem with the baby? Okay. I want to pray as I escape. Father, increase the anointing on your servants. Increase the anointing on your people. Oh my. Command the spirit of epilepsy, leave this vessel. Leave now. Go! In the name of Jesus! Okay, go. The demons of epilepsy will find it difficult to come into your space. Now, before you leave, just look at me. Straight. Don't remove your eyes. Just look. I want to be sure that it's no longer there. Try. You're not trying enough. Is it so difficult to Try again. Yeah, okay, go. The hand of the Lord will rest upon you continually in the name of Jesus Christ. Grace is your portion. Someone that has been struggling in business, you will just walk into grace now. You walk into grace. You walk into grace. You find grace in the name of Jesus.
All the men who praise the Lord. All the men who praise the Lord. For you do not call his wonderful works. You the children of men. To the children of men. He has broken the gates of brass. And our brothers were your asunder. He has broken the gates of brass.
Amen. Can we celebrate Jesus? Please, don't be in a hurry to go. We have vital information for you. Please, don't be in a hurry. In the next 5-10 minutes, we should be out of here. Don't be in a hurry. Can we stretch forth our hands towards the servant of God? Can you pray a heartfelt prayer? From the depth of your heart. That the Lord will restore every virtue. This week, as a journey to Cameroon, we ask that the angels of the Lord will go before him and wage war against the powers of darkness. We commit his soul into the hands of the Lord and that of the team, his wife, his children, that the Lord will watch over our father jealously and be a wall of fire around him. Can we ask for grace? Grace upon grace. We pray for journey mercies. No agenda of Satan in this season, in this year, against our Father, shall prosper. Open your mouth and pray, somebody. Open your mouth and pray.